Welcome to the Blockchain Life with your host, Wall Street Journal and USA Today's best-selling author, Carrie Oberbrunner. In each episode, we explore relevant topics that help you keep your world connected and protected. Thanks for joining the conversation today. Let's begin.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner. I have with me James Somerville on Blockchain Life. How are you doing today, James?
I'm doing great, Carrie. Thank you for inviting me along today. Just have a conversation. Excited.
Oh man. Well, first of all, you got a good haircut. I like it. And are you a fan of art? I love some of that stuff in the background. What's all that about?
Yeah, maybe we'll get into that. I'm a creative by trade. That's been my journey thus far. I guess before we get into Web 3, my career started at Web minus 3. So I was always in the creative field, and I like to surround myself with, you know, one, the old saying, good people, but good artwork as well, and great execution.
Wow. So this is fascinating. Now, did you go to school for art, or how did you get into it?
Yes, I was in the UK, didn't really succeed too well academically. So it felt like art school was a kind of, you know, I was, you know, pretty natural with a pencil, not a pen. So yeah, I did art school. I studied graphic design in the UK, Northern England, and that was in the early to mid 80s. And it felt like more of a hobby then, but it blossomed. It turned into a career. We launched an agency from my grandmother's attic bedroom when we were 19. And that project ran for 25 years as a, let's say, a traditional graphic design studio that evolved to a branding, design thinking, sort of mini global agency.
I love it. What were you, just curious, because when we get into Web3 in a moment, I'm sure we'll see the overlap, but what did people hire the agency for back then?
Well, I guess we were, you know, we came through that as Apple Macintosh. So the first thing we bought, we were founded by actually a charity in the UK called the Prince's Trust, headed up by His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales.
Wow.
They gave us £2,000 in 1986. That felt like a jackpot of seed funding. So that 2,000 British pounds we invested into Apple Macintosh, one of those first generation.
Yeah.
Well, certainly it felt first generation Macs. We just saw the light in the digital context of what was prior to that, all on drawing boards, you know, with the old fashioned sort of artwork. So from that very first year, we got the taste. We got the taste for technology. It was very primitive. You know, our phones are probably 150, 200 times faster than that early Mac. But still, we were on a journey. And I think what we started to do was offer our design work through this expression of digital art. Well, when I say digital art, late 80s, early 90s, was still quite raw, but we became recognized for that as an agency.
I love it. So it's almost like, I don't know, maybe that you would disagree, but Andy Warhol was kind of on the cutting edge in his day of pop art, where he was looking at what was marketing and what was going on in culture, and then he would do art around it. You're almost, would you say, digital pop art? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, looking back now, when we see all the digital work and the rise of the NFTs, we, you know, my partner, Simon Needham, and I, we kind of still all friends, and we look back at, we published 5 design books called Noise, and it was just this pure digital expression. And we look back at those books now that are 25 years old and real print with real ink. And we think, you know, they were in many ways, now we almost have the opportunity to walk through those pages and immerse into that quote 90s digital era that we still have. We don't sell 10,000, you know, characters, PFPs, but we have 10,000 layers on a page. So it's really interesting drawing the connection between, you know, what was and where we all were and what's happening right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, now let's get into Web3. How did this happen? And give us the story.
Yeah, I think like everybody in the last kind of 4 or 5 years, things are constantly changing. So you know, growing up as a designer, as a, someone who's in branding, and prior to my passion now in terms of this space, I joined Coca-Cola for 5 years.
Oh, so wow.
I was the VP of Global Design for Coke, which is a great honor for any designer. It's such a huge stage. I think what I started to see then was this idea of being able to reach out to a community of creatives, not necessarily always rely on a traditional agency. So by going to a community and building that sort of connection with individuals, one, you get sort of, you're moving with agility. You are actually giving opportunities to designers who maybe wouldn't get the chance to work on a Coca-Cola brand. And this kind of gave me a thought around, I wonder what the future of an agency model looks like. Does it need to be in a very cool studio in, I don't know, Brooklyn or London or anywhere else that's super cool and expensive in the world? Yeah. Or could it be? So I departed Coca-Cola in 2018 and just had this idea of a distributed agency model. I didn't really know even how to define it then.
Wow. But
things were catching my attention out there that, and, you know, along came the pandemic and along came, you know, the rise of the NFT and cryptocurrency and blockchain as a whole. And it just felt then that's the space that I think is the future of a creative agency. We're still all in the very early stages of it, but that really pushed me to Web3.
It makes sense. So, by the way, do you still have connections at Coca-Cola or are they all gone now?
No, I have like many, many friends at Coca-Cola. I loved working with the team there. By the way, did you ever see your name on a bottle? You know, I often get asked, people say, hey, why didn't they have very exotic names around the world? Why wasn't my name on a can or a bottle? I was like, okay, sorry. Maybe in Web3. We can have everybody's name in the world on the bottle.
Well, I was just reading last week, and I believe Coke is entering the metaverse.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing about my, you know, the projects I work on now, working with really fantastic brands who are, you know, in this strategic mindset now, what is our metaverse strategy? And they'll be at various positions on that journey. Some are starting to sort of like test and learn with NFTs because that feels like really low hanging fruit, a good opportunity to just, you know, see how a community reacts. But ultimately, yes, the goal and the ambition for most brands will be how do they show up in this new world, in this metaverse, and how do we bridge the connection between the physical and the digital? You know, so there's a kind of an experience both sides, but it's still the same brand.
Wow, I love it. Mm-hmm. So this, well, let's go into this area now. What are you doing today for clients? If somebody says, oh my gosh, I heard about you, James, I want to hire you, what are you helping them do?
So schooled in traditional branding from dealerships to packaging in supermarkets, that's where you'll find my work.
Wow. So
what we're trying to do is hold the hand of those great iconic real world brands, moving them across into this Web3 space. It's a step-by-step process, but what we would like to think we can do is bring the integrity and the authenticity of these great brands in the real world, not lose any of that. And so when it does show up in metaverse or some, you know, blockchain-based experience, it still feels familiar.
Mm.
We had a saying at Coca-Cola about good brands are familiar yet surprising.
Ooh, that's good.
And as consumers, if we don't feel familiar, we feel maybe somewhat scared or disconnected from a brand. So that familiarity sort of breeds that emotional connection. But we also want to know that the brand is progressing and not becoming staid or boring or all those kind of things. We like brands to feel like they're, you know, going with the times, if you like. So this familiar yet surprising is a great opportunity in Web3 for brands to bring everything, whether they're 50 or 100 years old or maybe 5 years old, but bring that in, but in the context of this new space.
Wow. Are you able to share maybe you can share names, maybe you can't, but can you share projects or case studies? I know you just mentioned, hey, a lot of brands are going after the low-hanging fruit NFTs. They're starting to see how their audience is going to respond. What, I mean, I type in metaverse and click news pretty much every day on purpose so that I see what's going on. Today's news was Lego, Legos and Epic Games, i.e. Fortnite, partnered to create $2 billion of seed money to evaluate how Lego is going to show up in the metaverse. That's fascinating. I mean, to me, that says that this is not a fad.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I think if we look at the way we've been consuming content, I mean, let's just go to movies. Let's go to Disney. Let's go to Marvel characters. Let's go to sci-fi. Even from the early days of cinema or TV, we as sort of consumers in the world, we've always had this kind of like desire. Maybe it's escapism to go to the movies. 2 hours is just a great feeling, right?
Yes.
This idea has always been there. Now it's just becoming a little more immersive for us as individuals. I can maybe own something in that space. I can turn left or turn right. And so I have choices rather than it being maybe in the Web 2 world, it's a little bit more linear. Web 1, no way. And printed books, of course, we all love printed books. But so it's becoming... The funnel is becoming wider. And I think that meta thinking has always been there. And I'd take it from gaming, of course, gaming, but movies, even childhood comic strip, right? Where we were on a voyage with a superhero in some way. And so really it's just a manifestation of all those things in the last maybe 100 years or more.
So this is just the next iteration, but in a way. Here's why I think, James, we're on a pattern and a path, but it just got crazy. And here's why I think so. You have the technologies, 5G, AR, VR, blockchain, crypto, metaverse. But what's mind-blowing to me is they're all converging. You know?
Absolutely.
Like we might have had VR and AR for decades, but it was its own little compartment. But now everything seems to be coming integrated.
I also do think, I absolutely agree, that the stars are aligning. I also think if we look at the last difficult 2 years, being actually most of my, probably 95% of my meetings have been done on a screen.
Yes.
If I've occasionally been able to get out and meet someone for a coffee, like that's a great feeling. But we've now got used to this kind of experience of looking through a rectangle and forming relationships. I have so many COVID friends from the last 2 years that I've never met.
Yes.
In the flesh. But I feel like I know them so well. So I do think that that's had a, you know, if you take all that technology and the emergence and everything you've just said, but actually the way as humans now we've been forced to sort of engage.
Yes.
That's almost kind of the wrapper to it as well.
I'll tell you what, James, last week we had our team retreat.
Right.
And I hired somebody over a year ago. She's now my strategic assistant. We chat on the phone every day for my calendar and details. And just last week, I saw her for the first time. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, but you know what's interesting? This, we don't even realize it. Like, I'm like, hey, Melissa, hey. And then about 20 minutes later, I'm like, this is the first time I've ever physically seen you. I almost feel like that's normal now. We see each other so much on Zoom, Facebook Live, that when we do see each other, it's not that much of a stretch.
Yeah, I've got a similar story, and it maybe backs into your previous question. Yeah. So I'd sort of had a few workshop calls with a very, there's a company out there that owns many, many typefaces, probably many on your keyboard, on your PC. They're called Monotype, a very well-established font. And they own one of their many fonts is Helvetica.
Oh, yeah.
So start kicking around an idea with with Bill, who works for Monotype, saying, hey, what if Helvetica, how would that even show up in the metaverse? What does that look like? Who would even NFT a font? What's attractive about that to anyone? Don't know. So we start throwing around an idea last September, October, and we thought if we could find five designers in the world who could do some special things with Helvetica. Well, that's turned into almost 30 global creatives. We're building an NFT gallery right now.
I think I saw this. I'm not even kidding. I think I saw this last week. Were you in the news or something?
Yeah, it's been mentioned. So I'm mentioning it here as well. We announced it actually at NFT LA and then NFT Miami.
Yes.
The drop won't happen until June, but we're just sort of seeding the idea now, letting the design community know. But what was really interesting about that conversation? Well, two things. I met Bill last week. And the first thing I said to him was like, wow, I've known you 2 years, Bill. I didn't realize you were that tall. You know, it's like, small things, right, that we
are
finding out other than just sat there and looking at each other like this. But when we'll think about the metaverse and signage and stores and wayfinding and street names or whatever, however, well, there needs to be typography, right? Because we won't necessarily get lost, but we feel comfortable. That's the familiar.
Yes.
That's the familiar, but wow, this is surprising. So how would a font show up in the metaverse?
That's
not
good.
As a store, not as a necessarily maybe a gallery, but not as a, it's not a product that we can wear, sneakers, you know, nice. It's not, you know, but it's there. It can actually be across a space rather than a physical space. So just great conversations how some brands are now seeing how their products, their intellectual property, if you like, could actually still play a role, even if it's not a product you buy off the shelf in a supermarket.
Yes, this is deep stuff. All right, we understand the font project. Anything else that you're excited about for the next, you know, let's say 2022? You got any other projects or brands or case studies or things you're working on?
The things I think will really allow us to maybe take that experience to the next level is how can we engage the senses beyond? Right now, it's very visual. There'll be, of course, there's audio. But what happens when there's a brand that you could actually almost, there's a scent to that brand? Now, I don't know, could it be a pizza? Could it be some food or something that you recognize immediately? What if there's almost eventually a sort of an inclination of a taste? So brands that could actually, as they do at the kitchen table, when they ignite all our senses because we see it, we taste it, we enjoy it, we talk about it. For me, that's the untapped space in the metaverse that may happen over the next 2, 3, 4 years.
Yes.
Really engaging. And there are so many great brands out there that we have a relationship with because we maybe it's been in our lives all our lives. How do they, rather than just showing up as a Coke bottle or as a box of, you know, granola bars, you know, how does the crunchiness of something like that start to come into play? So I think we're interested in projects where it's not just a visual manifestation, but we go beyond that and really try and bring a bit of the real world into more of the real world into this new world.
What's your website, by the way?
So behind this talk of NFTs and metaverse, we're building a community of designers and creatives. The project, as I rolled out of Coca-Cola in 2018, I called it knownunknown.com. But known unknown for me was the purpose, really, the idea, the why, was I wanted to give, you know, unknown talents around the world working in bedrooms and coffee shops and, you know, dorms, an opportunity to work on known brands. Can we create a stage for all this amazing individual talent around the world and give them the briefs that normally they wouldn't be able to work on a Coca-Cola or a Ford Motor Company? So Known and Known is building this community, and we launched it last year with 6,000 creatives that have signed up, but I think we're just scratching the surface.
Wow.
Our oldest is maybe 85, 86. Our youngest will be like 20, 21. And they can mentor, share, educate each other. You know, kind of look for projects, look for collaboration. So knownunknown.com is where designers and creatives are signing up. And then on the other side of the room, clients come to us and say, hey, we have this brand. We'd like to do this. And we think that you may be able to put a team together. So we turn to our community and almost handpick the perfect team for that brand assignment, if you like.
Wants to get into Web3 or show up.
Almost every brand request is different from, hey, James and Known Unknown, we need an icon for the brand. To, hey, James, Known Unknown, we were looking at NFTs, or we're thinking of, you know, purchasing some land, and what could we build on that land? So it's the full gamut of, you know, kind of like small but important things like a brand icon all the way through to brand strategy and then showing up in this new world.
Wow. Do you have any synergistic relationships? Like, for example, my mind's blowing with, I work with books and thought leaders and probably personal brands. Now, a lot of these people have companies too, but I'm wondering if you and I have some kind of collaboration too, where they want branding expertise on Web3.
Absolutely. I think this is this uncharted space. And I know there's lots of talk of Web3. I would say that there's so many foundational things in Web2, Web1, pre-Web, in terms of branding, a good brand strategy. Before we run off into the sunset and create these wonderful, you know, visual experiences, what is the foundation that will hold the brand? So I think the Web3 story is the exciting space, but I also like to bring through some of those more traditional, foundational elements of every brand. And I think that's the balance then between, or that's the connection point between the product at the supermarket or the vehicle in the dealership. And so when we see that in this new world, the foundation of that brand, the brand strategy, if you like, is continuous, even though the experience is very different.
So I would love to show you I'm a writer. Mm-hmm. My next book's called Blockchain Life. I'm already going to quote you on it because you said good brands are familiar but surprising. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to quote you in that, put you in there. A lot of my people are asking, what's the difference between Web 1, Web 2, Web 3? Can I show you a logo, or I guess you'd call it a chart, that I've created mm-hmm. from my own research? And can we just talk through it for a couple minutes?
Yeah, love to.
Okay. Because I don't know, you probably get that question a lot. The only way I can solve something is to like sit in a room quiet and try to just understand it myself. Can you see this?
Yeah, here we go. It's coming in my glasses.
So this is for my next book, but basically on the left-hand side, you have access, mm-hmm. assets, attraction, benefit, byproduct, and so forth. And then I kind of said, here's Web 1, mm-hmm. here's Web 2, here's Web 3, and here's some dangers or extremes. But anyone that you want to just pick and say, I'd like to expand on that, or that's why Web3 is dependent upon Web1.
Yes. Yeah. I'll pull a couple out on the rational and maybe, you know, both sides of my brain. I go to danger. I would use the word trust. Now, I'm only using it because that's a word I tend to use a lot. We coming from Coca-Cola, you have to trust a beverage. You have to trust something. There's nothing more intimate than putting something in your mouth, eating mm-hmm. or drinking. So trust is so important. I've worked extensively over the last 2 or 3 years with Ford Motor Company. We have to trust those vehicles, right? We have to trust autonomous vehicles around the corner.
Yeah.
So trust is so important in the real world and will be as, if not more important, in Web3. So I think any new icon brand or a legacy brand, I think trust. That will be. But I'm picking up on the word danger, because I think we are skeptical as consumers. We don't like huge change in one go. But if we feel like, you know, I trust this brand, you know, that then I think that goes a long way to engaging.
Mm, love that. I wrote that down.
And the other one, maybe I'm looking along the line of image. Again, it's maybe my Coca-Cola training, but storytelling.
Mm.
The world is built on storytellers. Mm. And from the beginning of time, wherever that story you believe as well. And so my point there is, you know, we love stories. We sit with books with our children and read them stories. We were those children once we go to the cinema. We just talked about that. So I think the storytelling side of how in Web 1, Web 2, and Web 3 just becomes even richer. But those powerful stories that kind of connect us as humans and importantly connect us to brands will be very, very important in Web 3. So
that is so good. So those are the two categories that I'm missing. I'm missing trust and I'm missing storytelling. And then I need to show how it shows up in each Web 1, Web 2, Web 3.
A third one then, as we're on this, may be authenticity.
Mm.
Being true to who you are. Now, how did that show up in Web 1? Hey, I'm Amazon. I sell books. Here's my first website. You know,
interesting.
Today to tomorrow. So pick any brand that was almost launched in Web 1 and think, well, how were they communicating authenticity back then? What did they do in Web 2? And what would we expect to, because again, as consumers, we want things to feel real.
Yep.
And believable, and it connects to storytelling, but authenticity, I think, will be another great sort of ingredient, if you like, within Web 3.
Wow. I knew you would be the guy to tell me what I was missing. I'll tell you what, James, we're at our time, and I'd love, if possible, 10 minutes privately offline with you just to chat about Block 3 or Web 3. But knownunknown.com, is that right?
That's correct. That's where creatives, and then, of course, you know, for finding me personally on LinkedIn, Instagram, you know, any DMs, if you like, you know, that's the, but in terms of the platform, knownunknown.com.
James Somerville. I love it. Thank you for being here, folks. Reach out to him. Our whole audience is pretty much creatives. So a lot of you will find a lot of success in that community. Thanks for being here today, James.
Cheers, Gary. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Blockchain Life. We hope today's conversation ignited your soul and inspired your mind. Post your comments in a podcast review on iTunes or your platform of choice. We read every single review because your thoughts matter to us. Please share this episode with a friend. We look forward to seeing you again on the next episode.